you that the Holy Spirit is holy unto all, not just some. And my press this morning, as all kinds of things happen, is to let us see ourselves a little bit deeper and to realize that God is on the job doing a mighty work in all of us. And sometimes we question our sanity. How many of you have ever had a problem with our sanity? I want to take you to the book of Acts this morning and to show you that obviously Peter, James, and John would have been in that group. And in the book of Acts, the disciples are recovering. And I know that sometimes when we start recovering, we start wondering if we're normal. Correct? Okay. Acts chapter 1 is where the Lord was pressing me. And I want to give you a concept that unless you activate your faith, nothing happens. The book of Acts also recognizes the book of their actions. Not their sitting and resting, but the book of their actions, the book of their choices to go forward in spite of circumstances. How many sometimes realize that circumstances can be real heavy and you've got to just pick up one foot and put it in front of the other, even in the pain? Even in the pain, okay? And sometimes you're going to be pressed of God to do certain things or to even connect with certain people in spite of your pain. In spite of the deceiver and what he's trying to do to you. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In the former, and I'm using the Amplified because I was pressed to. I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach. Until the day when he ascended after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations, by a series, meaning not just one thing, meaning a multiple of things that would convince him and convince the writer of this, which is Luke, that Jesus was really alive. How many know sometimes you can have something happen to you and it is so out of the character of your lifestyle that you question your own sanity? And you say, how can this be? And God has to come and reestablish that truth over and over. I had an odd situation happen to me this week. One of my cousins called. Now, my cousin is a little bit older than I am. And she lives in Munson. And we were brought up partially in Vermont. And then she moved to Springfield and married a young man from the city and had her family. Now, we've known each other all our lives. Her mom and my mom were sisters. She lost her mother when she was like, I would say, maybe 11. And for the first time in my life, I realized that her grandmother actually adopted her and her grandfather. Now, you say, why did that happen? Well, because there was 9 children when her mother died. And her oldest sister was 15 when she had to take over the family. And it's pretty tough to take over and, you know, the whole family at 15. But she did it. But I never connected the dots until this week. I like that. Never connected those dots. And then, of course, we had a conversation about my beginnings in Vermont. And transitioning from Canada into Vermont was horrible. Because I couldn't understand the words. The language was totally foreign to me. And whenever I got into mischief, Malik, they put me in the closet. That was the teacher. Couldn't deal with a kid that didn't understand the language, so what do? You... Yeah. She says, Tim, I never realized you went through such things. And I says, well, that was God's plan. Because we don't talk too much about Jesus. But I can tell you this, if it wasn't for Jesus, she wouldn't be alive this year. Because a year and a half ago, when she lost her husband, she was in the hospital for almost 8 months. One series of illness after another, after another, after another. One type of infection, two surgeries, blah, blah, blah. Make a long story short, she's still here. And God is now opening up her circumstances with mine. And we had this 20-minute conversation on the phone, which was, whoa, God, you are definitely opening up some awesome things. She declared to me that her father actually smuggled her back across the border back into the States without permission from the government. And she got married thinking she had done nothing wrong because, after all, Daddy took care of everything. But Daddy didn't. She's got two kids, and the U.S. authorities, customs agents, come to the door and say, or immigration officers, rather, come to the door and say, we're here to take you back to Canada. Because you were legally adopted by your grandfather and your grandmother, and there was no change in status. And to make a long, long story very short, we're able to keep her dad out of jail because she had never done anything to injure anyone in the States, and she was married to an American citizen. But she says, it took so long to straighten out the mess. Piece by piece, it got formed. The book of Acts is a bunch of people that have lost their general. He's disappeared. Yet he appears and he shows up. He shows up and he comes and visits. Appearing to them during 40 days. Verse 3. And talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. Now, isn't that intense? He comes back to them and he says, there's a kingdom that my father has. And you need to be hooked in. Do you think it included the kids? Absolutely, it included the kids. I can remember questioning my own sanity when I was in that closet. And a lot of those, I should say months, because it was months, before I could finally comprehend the language, I was living in this horrible nightmare of having to face school every day. If you think I loved school, you've got news coming. I hated school. It was a pain. Yet when I was in Canada, I loved school. I couldn't wait to go. When your general or your king leaves and leaves everything with you and you question your sanity, is he able to appear to you now? How does he appear to you in 2008? You just heard. He came this morning and he reminded me that the key's upside down. A word of knowledge from the body of Christ can change the pastor. I can remember about 8 months ago, a gentleman we had never seen was in the congregation. And a word of knowledge came out of Peggy. Oh, I see this little bridge. It's like a covered bridge, blah, 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 and given all kinds of details about this piece of land and a house. It happened to be the residence of a young man that was visiting with us. What was God saying? I'm in charge! I'm in charge of your life! I have a king. His name is Christ Jesus. I'm sitting him right next to me, says the Father. And I've got a plan to send his spirit into you. To change you and radically change you from what you were to what you need to become. Did I enjoy school the following year? It got a little easier. Because I could at least understand when they asked me something what was happening. Did I comprehend it fully? Absolutely not. Verse 4. And while being in their company and eating at the table with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak." So in other words, it's not the first time they've heard about the Holy Ghost. They've been told, wait, wait, wait. How many know I don't like waiting? How many of your kids like waiting? None of us like waiting. We want yesterday's instant potatoes done before you even turn the microwave on. That's the generation we're living in. Watch. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, but not many days from now you will be baptized with, placed and introduced into the Holy Spirit. Placed and introduced into the Holy Spirit. So in other words, there is a powerful impact awaiting you that can transform your life from one of deception and hopelessness to one of the kingdom of God being alive inside of you right now. Today. Not next year. Right now. Today. There are times that people in the body of Christ will be moved of God to really connect with one another. How many have had at least one phone call this week from a saint? One, two, three, four, five. Okay, so five of you. Absolutely. That's a connection. Six, seven. Emails count because that's a connection. Okay? It may not be a spoken word. It might be a written word. I was connecting to a gentleman named Wade Taylor last night. I had a marvelous time on my website. Listening, or hearing, actually, some of the thought patterns of this man keeping himself alive in spite of what the enemy wanted to do. How many know the enemy would like to kill you now? Okay, why? Because you're dangerous. Let me ask you this. If the king of a country had one son, and he would give up that son so that others would become like that son, wouldn't the foreign nation say, let's get rid of him? Why? Because they become a threat. Especially if he's got a whole bunch of sons. And when the book of Acts comes to life, it's because there's one Jesus that loses his flesh to pay for our resurrection and our life, and then he releases his spirit inside of you and me so that we can have more kings and more priests in the earth. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something kind of strange, but I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and lift one hand to the Lord if it's free. Say, Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit that you released in the earth, I've got room for more of him. And I need more of him so that the kingdom of God can be in my house and can be in my family, can be in my place of work or school, can be in my entire being so that I can become just like Jesus, a son. A child of God. A daughter of God. The Most High. To change my atmosphere. From hopeless to full of joy. Amen. So he said, for John baptized with water, so that everybody knows John the Baptist was one going around baptizing with water. But not many days from now you shall be baptized with placed in, introduced into the Holy Spirit. So when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? So they were focused yet on getting rid of the Romans. Well, the Romans, to me, are the ones that roam around. The Romans are those that come and try to dissuade you that you're not quite holy yet. Those are the Romans to me. Okay? They're not literally coming out of Italy. They are coming from all pits of hell, trying to roam around me and you to stop us from becoming all of what God has already declared we will be. Did he not say you shall be kings and priests in 1 Peter? Well, if you shall become kings and priests unto the God of heaven, what in God's name are you doing when you fear and you doubt God's plan to establish you as a king and as a priest? Well, I had those doubts. I remember the first time Gino taught on the priesthood, I was so ingrained in my understanding of who I was. I was the little peon in the back of the church for many, many years. I was in the choir loft, in case you forgot. Some of you know that. I was there for 26 years. So if you think coming down the stairs was a problem, yes, it was. Yeah, and then God put us on the altar, and I got one of my helpers back there, and another one here. Why? Because God was changing me. He was pushing my buttons. Right, Mary? Right. How old were you at that time, Mary? 16, 17, and you came to work. Sunday mornings was work time. And we would prepare, and we would begin a worship service. Why? Because we were radically shaking the church. And guess what? We did it because God was pushing. Because the Holy Ghost had come into us. It wasn't coming into a church. It was coming into us first. It was coming into you and me. It was transforming us. I can remember many, many times after the service, the priest would just walk out. And I'm not talking about the priesthood that I carry. I'm talking about the priesthood that he was from. And he would walk out and he would do his thing and we would have several people would come up for prayer. Okay? And the anointing would fall. And very soon we started to say, okay, God, what do you want to do? And the Lord said, I want a healing service on a Sunday night once in a while. And guess what? We drove the church into a real tipsy-topsy circumstance because they couldn't figure out what God was doing. But he was working in his people. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a people. And the Holy Ghost is going to change you. Hallelujah. Catching on? Verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings the things and the events of time and their definite periods, fixed years and seasons, which the Father has appointed by his own choice and authority and personal power. So in other words, in the heavenly realm and in the kingdom of God, there's a Father who is supreme. Under him is the King, Jesus Christ, sitting at his right hand. Where are we sitting? In his lap. Yay! Somebody loves me enough to take me in his lap. Okay? I remember the first time I read Kelly Varner's book, I believe The Priesthood Is Now, and he's got a book called, I think it was my second one that I read, God Has One Piece of Furniture in his Holy of Holies, in his living room. You know what the piece of furniture is? His love seat. The only piece of furniture, of course I was in the furniture business. So, you know, the only piece of furniture he has in his living room is a love seat. Isn't that cool? He doesn't have a judgment seat. He's already judged everything in the earth. He has a love seat. So where do you think Jesus is sitting next to Papa? On the love seat. And where are you? Sitting on the? Not on the critical seat. How many have visited the critical seat? Don't go there anymore. It's not from God. Okay?
not from God.
God is a lover of His creation. You know, there's one way that you can really begin to see if God loves you and me. If you have children, and if you have a little child, and you look at that little child or an animal that you've carried and loved through the nursery of their time, and you carry that child, whether it's a little animal. I mean, I can remember when I lost my dog. I was so mad at God, I didn't get over it for years. Why? Because I was 11 years old when my dog died, and it wasn't her time to die. Okay? As far as I was concerned. I wanted her to live for... Thank you. God wants you to live. He sent His Son that you would live. Not part-time. That you would have joy. Yes, because He loves you and me. He loves us so much, He sent His Son that we would come to life. Now, why the kingdom? Why the Holy Ghost? Why all this in the book of Acts? Because it was time for their whole lives to be changed. And I believe that we are in that same situation. If you look at Wall Street for your comfort zone, you're going to be what? Crying. There you go. Tears. Big tears. If you look for people to make you happy, how long is it going to last? Not very. Very short space. And sometimes it's very, very short. Amen? Okay. I want you to go to verse 8. But you shall receive power. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the very bounds of the earth. Whoa! You shall be my witnesses. Oh, a disabled witness is what? One that's what? If you were going to go on the witness stand tomorrow and the judge examined you, he would say, why are you disqualified? A liar? Oh, pretty good, that's right. I would not want a liar on my case. So therefore, if I was the judge with a liar, I'd say, phew, you're off the board. You're not going to be one that can judge your neighbor. How about one that has already made up their minds? You should be flexible, right? Should be teachable. A good witness is going to be able to listen to both sides. Right? Now, a good witness will have tasted of the world and of its hurts and of its pain. But will have been set free, filled with what? Power, ability, efficiency, and might. Yes or no? He'll know both sides of the picture. I can remember asking the Lord many years back, what do you want from me? How many of you have ever asked the Lord, what do you want from me? Be my witness? How can I be your witness? I'm full of problems. I'm full of deceptions. I'm full of radical bad thoughts. Yes. You qualify. You know why? You've already got one side of the kingdom understood. The kingdom of darkness. Now you've come into the kingdom of light and you are filled with what? Power, ability, efficiency, and might. And you've tasted both sides so you can be a what? A witness with knowledge and understanding and compassion. Because you'll know what it's like to be under the deception of the enemy. You'll know what it's like to be deceived and hurt and wounded by the lies of the enemy. And you'll have compassion for your brothers and sisters. You won't be a judge. You will be a compassionate lover sitting on the love seat with the Lord. And you won't be there with a critical stick trying to hit everybody into shape. Amen? If you hit people into shape, what do you think you're going to get? Some of you are going to get hit back. Yes. And it hurts. Yes, it does. Now I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Say, the Holy Ghost is going to be filling me with power, ability, efficiency, and might. Try it again. The Holy Ghost is going to fill me with power, ability, efficiency, and might. Now, I don't think you deserve it.
Get off my shoulder.
I don't think you qualify. You're not quite holy enough yet. You're too young. You're too old. You're too this. You're too that. You're not the right color. You're not the right this. You're not the right that.
Yeah.
You know what? I went through that. The Holy Ghost came in, and guess what? I was so critical of myself, because that's all I knew, that I shut it down. As soon as the Holy Ghost came in, I said, don't want to go there. Don't want to go there. I can't really believe for me. I mean, after all, the Holy Spirit can do a job on you, and you, and you, but not. Why did I exclude myself? I was still living in the closet. I was still having the mentality that I could never be understood. And I couldn't make myself understood. Because the authorities in my life had what? Disqualified me. I couldn't function. I could not function. I could not be what God had called me to be until I what? Got a new brain. A new way of thinking. A new way of responding. About myself. It works with us. It starts with us and it finishes with us. Verse 9. And when he had said this, even as they were looking at him, he was caught up, and a cloud received and carried him away out of their sight. Why do you think he let himself be covered by the cloud? Pretty good thought. I believe that the reason why they covered him is so that they would get an understanding that he was going from out there to in here. All right, you figured it out. Cool. I want you to just, again, look at what I'm trying to tell you. For many years, for me, the Holy Spirit was a foreigner. Now, he became what? Friend? What else? Counselor? What else? Comforter? What else? Guide? Mentor? All of the above. You see, when I went from Canada into the U.S., I became an alien. When the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ Jesus, came into me, I changed things. I was no longer a part of the natural kingdom. I was now a part of the Holy Spirit's kingdom. And the one that was in charge of the kingdom was really the Holy Spirit. It's like the governor. The king's on the job. If I know that the king is very, very busy, I will talk to the governor. And the governor will be what? Available all the time. Why? Because he's inside of me. He's always there. And he's filled with what? Power, ability, efficiency, and might. Now, How do I proceed in learning how to function from the capacity of power, ability, efficiency, and might? How do I function with these new attributes that I've never had or believed about myself? If I've always believed that I'm no good, that I'm useless, that I'm hopeless, that I belong in the closet because nobody can understand me and I can't understand them, what is wrong? How can I change it? By starting to believe. Right on, young man. So, if we make a choice today to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to transform us from what we were to what we need to become, then our mentality is going to start changing. And we're not going to think about ourselves as hopeless and useless and a waste. I can tell you this. Peter was a broken down man. Totally, totally deceived. And rejected his Lord and King. And he had walked with him for 3.5 years. And yet right in the next chapter, he makes a sermon and 3,000 people come to Christ. How long did it take the Holy Ghost to change him? Didn't take him long. Didn't take him long. You see, because if you have your vehicle, how'd you get here today, by the way, James? But did you drive here? Did you put fuel in the tank? Why? It's already there. Now, if it gets on empty, are you going to refuel it? So it depends. Depends on John, right? All teasing aside, what I'm trying to make you understand is that once the fuel is in, you can turn the key if you've got it in the right direction, and things will run. But as soon as you have the power and the fuel in there, and you turn the key, you've got it. That's it. It's not complicated. Are you ready to act on the power, ability, and efficiency and might that you have in you? Are you ready? I'm going to ask you again. Are you ready to act upon the power, ability, efficiency, and might that you have in you? Okay, you mean business. Then close your Bible. I want you to stand up. Grandma, Mama, bring the little ones. Not the little baby. You can stay with her. But the little ones need to come up. Oh, she's already got her in her arms. I thought she was in the baby thing. Come on, come on. Come on up. Bring the little ones up. They need to be up front because we want them to be praying together. Yes. 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 Awesome. I like it. Show everybody your shirt, sweetheart. Aha. Aha. And this is all Pete's fault. This is all Pete's fault. Okay? If it wasn't for Pete, none of these would be here. Can you close your eyes, please? Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, I've heard a lot about you today. And I need your power. I need your efficiency. I need your ability. And your might. Would you come into my heart today and strengthen that which is of you? Strengthen the inner parts of me and start erasing right now what I was to become full of power, full of ability, full of efficiency, and most especially might. Might in God. Mighty in God. Filled with God's grace. About and for me. It starts all about me. To be transformed out of the hopelessness of the past to the fullness of Christ being developed in me now. So come, Holy Spirit. Fill me now. Fill me now, Lord. Fill me now with a new understanding of who I am in Christ Jesus, sitting in God's love seat, loving and being loved morning, noon, and night. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glorify yourself through me, Lord. Continue filling with your ability my inner man, full of power, full of efficiency, full of might, to tackle every lie, every deception I've believed about me, and let it continue in the days and weeks ahead.